You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
So we have been in a series called Spiritual Warfare, and it has been incredible, impactful, powerful. I want to encourage you, if you have not been here each week to hear these messages, please go back and listen. These messages are life-changing. This is how we walk in victory, amen, as Christians, and not as constant, battering rams, really, so to speak. I remember years ago, the Lord gave me this picture of the enemy just beating me up like one of those blow-up things that kids play and punch, and he said, when are you going to stop being this right here? And showed me another vision of me grabbing the wrist of the enemy and saying, that's enough. And at that moment, we walked into a new season where we were aware spiritually of what was taking place around us. This is really what I would sum up these last few weeks in this spiritual warfare message, is so that you can walk in victory in your Christian walk with Jesus. Amen? So this morning, I am preaching a message called Freedom Rings. The purpose of taking victory in spiritual warfare is for one thing, and that is freedom. Freedom. It's what every single one of us desires. It's what a generation is crying out for. It's what generations to come, or what every generation that has already come has cried out and yearned for, is personal freedom, freedom in our families, freedom in our nation, spiritual freedom. This is the point of engaging and taking victory in spiritual warfare. And so many of us spend our time trying to duck out or hide from the spiritual warfare. Oh, I'm going to let my pastors and those other justice-driven people take out Jezebel. And hopefully I just get to glean from that fruit. And we try our best to get around spiritual warfare so we don't have to engage. And what we're really saying is that we're hiding from freedom. We have to engage in God's way in spiritual warfare. And as I was interceding for this house in this series, the Lord gave me this other picture. I'm very visual, as you can tell. The Lord always gives me pictures. And I saw the enemy crouching up on doorsteps and porches. And the Lord said, whatever I allow to come your way, whatever demonic spirit I've allowed to come your way, I've already given you the authority over. There's so much in that. Some of us would think, well, Jesus, why are you letting that thing come to me? The Bible says he won't allow you more than what you can handle. He never said, I won't allow hardships to come your way. There has to be a route and a way for our spiritual muscles to strengthen and to begin to engage in the authority that he's given us to take out darkness. Amen? So I saw this vision of the enemy encroaching on our porches. And instead of hiding in our houses, as the enemy would love, trying to find a crack or a crevice, I saw the owners, which are you, this house, opening the front door fearlessly and looking at that thing and sending it back to the pit of hell where it came from. And then there was a door slam, walking back in. And some of you have said, but I thought that I did that and I spoke, and then the next day, no. I remember saying about a couple months ago when I ministered in my last message, I believe it was Lawless Men, outside of Mart, that the Lord reminded us that the war is won through winning the daily battles. So don't get exhausted by walking in that boldness and authority that God has given you of opening that door fearlessly and saying, I know I sent you back yesterday, but I'm sending you back again. I'm sending you back to the pit of hell again, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, until he has to send something new, because that thing's not coming back anymore. Amen? So the purpose and point of taking victory in spiritual warfare is freedom. In the message that I'm going to be ministering on today, I'm going to be ministering out of Exodus and Moses. I was reminded as I was reading the scripture and praying into this morning of the multiple prophetic messages and words that have come to this house. A prophetic message is not just a sermon that is well written, but really directly from the Lord. It is a message that God is saying not to just an individual, but to a body. And there has been multiple of these messages that we have received, some myself that I've given. And I remember last Mother's Day, where we're 1 year from there, I preached on birthing reformation. And in this message, I ministered on Mary and Elizabeth. And I saw men and women both in this house spiritually pregnant, just like Elizabeth and Mary, but as they were pregnant, midwifing for each other. Okay, I just ministered on dreams fulfilled, birth reformation at Mark's night the other night. And this is what I see. I see this house, men and women, both spiritually pregnant, but midwifing for one another, because the promises and dreams that fill us have to be birthed together for the full fulfillment of what God wants to do. See, Jesus, Mary was pregnant with the Messiah and the Savior. But God still impregnated Elizabeth with John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had to come as a reformer, preaching repentance, preparing the way for the Messiah so that the people would receive the message of salvation through Jesus. See, both had to be birthed to bring the full fulfillment that God was bringing to the earth and for all time. There are things within this house right now that you are called to birth, but you are also called to midwife for someone next to you, others in this house, because your dream won't come to full fruition if others around you are aborting what they're pregnant with. This is how God is calling the body of Christ to come together in unity. In unity to birth the reformation he's calling us to walk in. See, Mary traveled a far distance pregnant to celebrate what was in Elizabeth. And isn't it interesting that when Mary comes, the Bible says that the baby that was in Elizabeth's womb all of a sudden leaps because she was filled with the Spirit of God. John the Baptist needed in that womb the presence of Jesus coming, the presence of Mary coming to fill her so that that promise and that dream would birth what it was called to birth. I'm getting somewhere with this. See, in the midst of Mary and Elizabeth and who I'm ministering on today, Moses, there was extreme warfare that came against the promises that were within them, the dreams that were within them. In Mary's time, as she's pregnant with the Messiah, it says the king ordered for all of the babies to be slaughtered. We see this in the time of Moses, Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses, is pregnant, and Pharaoh is intimidated by the growth of the influence and the authority over the Israelites, or in the Israelites. So he begins to put a plan together to control a people group and nation that is truly intimidating him, and it is through the murdering of babies. Isn't it interesting that we are experiencing the same control from a government now to try to control a people group and nation through the slaughtering of babies? This is nothing new. Church, sorry, the justice that's in me, I just have to say this, that we have to be a voice for the unborn. There is an agenda to take out God's sons and daughters that are called to influence right now and tomorrow. And there is an agenda to slaughter influencers that I believe God is calling for such a time as this. The church has to sound the alarm for freedom. See, the temptation was this, with Mary and Elizabeth, with Jochebed, Sacrifice your promise and your dreams, for death is coming to your baby boys. Because really what they wanted sacrificed was freedom. See, it was sacrifice your dream, Jochebed, because what we really want dead is justice and freedom. Because God had put a freedom ringer in Jochebed's womb. God had put Moses in Jochebed's womb. See, but what they did not know with the pharaohs and with the kings of the world, with the slave drivers, what they did not know was that there was a greater sacrifice that was coming to bring freedom to the world. Would you pray with me this morning? So, Father, we ask for your glory to fill your temple. We ask for the supernatural to fill your temple this morning. Father, for your sons and daughters have come not to hear a man's voice, but they have come to hear your voice, your words, your truth, to receive your freedom, oh God. So Lord, I just declare every distraction that the enemy would try to bring or any demonic presence that would try to enter, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, it has to leave. And I thank you nothing but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, can rule and reign in this room, can rule and reign within us. And Father, in this moment as we're praying, we pray as a body for Israel. God, I pray right now for supernatural intervention for Israel, for your people, oh God. Right now, God, we lift our voices and we cry out for mercy and for justice for your sons and daughters. We cry out for salvation and deliverance for the Jews and the Muslims, all your sons and daughters that need to know you, oh God. So, Father, we just ask right now for supernatural miracles to come. Lord, I thank you that in the enemy's camp, that confusion would come. Would you send angelic hosts that would interrupt the evil plans of the enemy to annihilate your people, oh God? And I thank you, Father. I saw this morning, even as I was praying, Lord, that your angelic hosts that were being sent would cause those that don't know you to kneel before you, that no longer would they be able to bring forth an evil agenda. So God, we thank you that a holy interruption is coming right now, and we declare the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, and supernatural salvation and deliverance for every religion, for every faith, that they would turn to know the one and true God. You, Jehovah, make yourself known in the nations, God, and come and claim what's yours, your sons and your daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in Exodus 1, 9 through 21. And I believe that there is a supernatural moment that we are in. And when I say the term midwives, I'm not talking about a woman, just a woman. I'm talking about a spiritual midwife. Some of the men actually have the greatest revelation, the fathers in this room, because this is what you were to your wife as she was laboring and birthing. You were in her ear saying, you're doing a good job. Keep going. Keep pushing, contending for the health of both of your promise. You may not have been the one that was birthing, but you were there contending, speaking life, praying and encouraging the one giving birth. You were the one that was there to see your promise come into the world, your dream come into the world. So this is what we see in Exodus 1, 9 through 21 is supernatural midwifing. We'll start in verse 9. It says this, and Pharaoh said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, then they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. I believe that's a prophetic verse for us right now. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all of their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Verse 15, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. See, it was the time of supernatural midwives in Moses' time too. And due to these midwives carrying the fear of the Lord, the Bible says that they resisted the evil culture. They resisted the lawlessness of an evil ruler, and they stayed in the fear of the Lord. They stood firm and refused to murder these babies. And due to that, hence Moses is brought forth a great reformer and a freedom ringer. Moses, a freedom ringer, is brought forth due to a midwife saying, I refuse to be a part of murdering this purpose, this dream, or this baby. We need some fearless and some bold midwives that aren't afraid of attaching themselves to something because it's a little too bold for them. Or maybe that's going to attract a little bit too much uneasiness from the world or towards my business or towards my family. I like this place where it's a little bit more comfortable right here. That if I just go with the ways of what I'm told, it feels a little bit more comfortable and safe for me and my family. But how many people know in this room that lawlessness will not stop? The supernatural has to arise with it. So we either join the lawlessness or we rise with the supernatural. And this was these midwives. See, it's interesting, and I already said this earlier, but that they began to control the influence and authority that came to the Israelites from the blessing of the Lord that made them afraid. They began to control them through the murdering of their children. So Moses is born, and Jochebed sees that she's had a baby boy. Obviously, back then, they didn't have ultrasounds. So here Jochebed is carrying, and she's hearing this sound of injustice, not knowing, am I having a girl or a boy? So now she's at the birthing table. And all of a sudden, she hears that cry, and she looks down, and she sees a boy. But the Bible is clear that Jochebed was a spirit-led woman, that she knew the Lord, that she raised three fearless, on fire, two sons and a daughter for Jesus. So I can imagine in this moment, all of a sudden, the solution of God into this mother. The solution that freedom had to ring, the solution that freedom had to come, because God had already heard the cry of his sons and daughters. He'd already heard the cry of the Israelites. Moses is the solution. So all of a sudden, she hears the solution. She begins to gather the sticks and all of the things, and she makes this basket. It says for 3 months she had the baby. Can you imagine? Putting your promise, your dream, your baby that you've carried for months and months and prayed over. She puts this promise in this basket and she sends down the Nile River her promise. But perfectly as God would have it, Pharaoh's daughter is out bathing in the river, and all of a sudden she hears the cry of a baby. She runs to the riverside, she grabs that baby, and also perfectly, just like God would plan it, Miriam, Moses' older sister, runs right over to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "What if I go and grab a Hebrew woman to nurse and care for this baby?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, go." So Miriam runs and she goes and gets Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and says, "You're not going to believe this. Here's your promise. Here's your baby. But not only here's your baby, here's the blessing of Pharaoh's house that said this baby's to be murdered. Now you're blessed to nurse this thing, to fill this thing with his kingdom. And not only that, they're going to pay you to do it." Do you know when you let go of the things within you, when you let go of the dreams within you, that God sends it back far greater than what you could have ever done on your own? So many of you are carrying dreams and purposes, and then hardships come your way, and the enemy is in your ear trying to steal the very truth that God placed within you. Do not doubt what God said. Do not doubt what he has placed within you. For if you trust God in releasing that dream, in releasing that promise, just wait and see how God brings it back to you. This was Jochebed. It's interesting because God didn't just release Moses back to a Hebrew woman. Okay, what does a Hebrew woman stand for? A daughter of his kingdom. One who has faith in the true king. She wasn't just any Hebrew woman. She was the mother of Moses. And she wasn't just a mother. But Jochebed's name means this: God's glory. God released his promise back into the supernatural. He said, "I know I'm going to bring you for a time into Pharaoh's kingdom, but I'm going to bring you back to your mother so that you're nursed, so that you're filled with my source, with my milk, with my kingdom, because I'm going to release you into another kingdom, but you are going to infiltrate that kingdom. You are going to lead those people out of that kingdom." So wouldn't you know it, that Moses is now being filled with heaven's source. See, I ministered this at Mark tonight, that we are called to be vessels of heaven. But the Lord gave me a vision that as vessels and as Christians, that we had all these mixed substances within us, that we come and we hear truth on Sunday, maybe read our Bible once or twice during the week, but then we're infiltrated with the world's sources. This is not how we are going to bring supernatural into a natural and evil world. We have to have the supernatural source, heaven's sources filling us, because whatever fills us is what we will pour out, church. I ministered this last Sunday night that it is so important that we are guiding all, or that we are guarding all of our senses of what is pouring in us, so that what pours out of us is miracle signs and wonders. What pours out of us is liberty and freedom. What pours out of us is setting his captives free instead of living in captivity. See, this was the setup for God's filling in Moses, the filling source of the correct kingdom. See, I know the rest of the world might be oppressed right now. Maybe they have believed the lie of infirmity and death of the lawless ones. But I hear Jesus speaking to his church, if you stick with me, if you war my way, if you stay a holy, pure vessel, pouring out my water, my oil, freedom will come. See, the warfare that you're in right now is the setup for the freedom that's coming. Did you hear me? The hardships and the warfare and the things that you are facing, the demonic temptations, the stirring up in your family, in your marriages, in your finances and business, in your children, the warfare that is coming against you now is to prepare you for the freedom shoes that you will be walking in and leading your families in, leading your cities in, leading your businesses in. This is the setup for what God is bringing. Exodus 2:10. When the child, speaking of Moses, grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. It says this, that she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Moses means this, to draw out. Remember that. Now go with me to Exodus 1:23 through 25. It says this, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came to an end. Came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel. And God knew. What did God know? God knew the solution. He heard the cries of his people. And he answered by drawing out Moses, his son, and using him for his glory to set his captives free. God has drawn you out, church. He has drawn you out, the very things that the enemy wants to disqualify you for. The very things of your past and of your history, of your culture, what's happened to you. God is drawing you out to set his captives free. So God begins to take Moses through this journey of encountering God. So we know that Moses, as a baby, he has this death threat already on his life. And so his mother releases him down the Nile River. If you know the Nile River, it's not a Trinity River. This river is full of crocodiles. It's full of snakes. And his mother releases him down this river. And then he is supernaturally drawn out. After years that go by now, he's brought back to Pharaoh's kingdom. And they believe that it was around 40 years later that now he is raised in an evil kingdom, probably daily seeing and witnessing injustices against his people. 40 years, can you imagine, listening to the cry of your people? Wondering, God, why did you draw me out to watch this enslavement of my people? So many of us ask this very thing as years of our dreams have passed. In hardships, wondering, are God's promises true? But this was the setup for what God is calling us, what God was calling Moses to. See, now after these 40 years, all of a sudden Moses is driven by this justice. And it says that he looks out and he sees an Egyptian beating ruthlessly a Hebrew slave. And he's so in anger that the Bible says that he runs out and he murders this man. Shortly after, again, he's driven by this justice within him. And he sees these Hebrew men, and they begin fighting and arguing with each other. And he runs out and he says, why are you treating each other this way? Why are you doing this? And what do? They turn on him. They begin to accuse him. We know what you did. We know what you did in your past when Moses within him is just wanting to set them free. But he begins to hear this sound of freedom ringing within him. See, God was drawing Moses out of the environment. God begins to draw him out of the environment of the very kingdom that he said, okay, you've seen the injustice. Now you're filled with justice. Now I'm calling you to walk in freedom out of this place. I'm calling you to walk out of freedom because I'm going to call you to walk hundreds and thousands out of freedom. See, that freedom ring within him begins to sound again. And as he flees from Pharaoh's kingdom in Exodus 2, 15 through 19, it says this: Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. What does a well symbolize? It means this: the word of God, or truth and life. See, an empty well symbolizes no truth or no life. But a full well is the place of living water where truth is plentiful. And our word says that truth brings what? Truth sets us. Truth brings freedom. See, Moses found himself back at a freedom place. See, it once was that he was drawn out of the river, the freedom place. But now as God has him walking in freedom, he ends up at a well, the place of living water. And it says this in verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and they drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up, and it says that he saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock." God was reminding Moses who he was. I drew you out. Now I've called you to draw others out. I poured out on you, and now I'm calling you to pour out on others. We received a prophetic word from Pastor Jeremy, and he said, the first season, the first quarter of this year will be to dig ditches. Remember this word. He spiritually said, I see you digging ditches. Why would we dig ditches? Because we are preparing the place for the filling of the Lord to come. And so here he finds himself at a trough, or another word is ditch. And he begins to draw out the living water and fill the ditches to bring life and freedom for others. See, God was saying that freedom that's ringing in you, this is just a practice run. See these seven daughters right here? I'll give you a promise and a wife out of it too. But this is just a foreshadow of the thousands I am calling you to stand firm and to set free. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming to Fort Worth, Texas. Freedom is coming to America and to the nations. This summer, isn't it interesting that as the elders prayed last May, this time, we saw a season of evangelism. We planned last year, it will be a summer of evangelism. What does that mean? It means that we took January, February, and March to dig ditches. Now God has been pouring out, filling us as vessels with his oil and water to what? This summer, set people free, evangelize in every way. There we go, online campus. This doesn't just mean Fort Worth, but what is the city that you're living in now? From New York City to Los Angeles, California, from Miami, Florida, up to Seattle, Washington, we declare that there will be a pour out of the supernatural. season, we are called to draw out and to pour out. See, Moses' encounters, they continue. And all of a sudden, after this moment, God meets Moses on a mountain top. And it's in a fire moment, a burning bush moment, that for the first time, God speaks to Moses face to face in a fire. This is the first moment also that God directly calls Moses to set his people free through fire. How does Moses respond? Moses actually responds in this encounter to God with all of the reasons why he can't. All of the things of his past. God, don't you remember I was raised in the wrong kingdom? Don't you remember those seven daughters? They just said an Egyptian saved them. I mean, look at me, God. I'm not made. I'm not a son of you. Am I? Who am I? And God begins to answer back Moses and says, Moses, don't you remember the very beginning floating down my river? My freedom. Don't you remember? I brought you back to your mother to be filled with my presence, be filled with my kingdom. I know you may have a different outfit, a different thing on the outside going on, but don't you get your identity mixed up, Moses. You are my son. You are my son with my kingdom within you, church. Do not get mixed up with your identity and who you are. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. That carries the kingdom that created everything within you. That's what you carry within you. And then Moses begins to cry out, but I murdered a man. Don't you remember, God? God says, but that's why I brought you out. But I allowed you to be in that place to see the injustice, not to disqualify you, but to impregnate you with a passion for justice, with a passion for freedom. Church, do not let the things of your past, do not let the enemy use your past and your mistakes against you so that you can't fulfill what he's called you to tomorrow. What if he allowed you to go through those things to put the compassion for those that have been through the very same thing? Do I think my God wanted me sinning, doing drugs? No, but maybe he allowed it so that one day I would let freedom ring everywhere I would go, because I know that God can set his people free. Come on, he set me free, and he's gonna set the nations free. What if the very thing the enemy has disqualified you for is the very thing that the authority over strongholds is gonna flow out of you from? What if the very temptation of yesterday is the very river of freedom that will flow out of you tomorrow? We slam that door on that enemy. Slam that door! This is the river of freedom that God placed to flow out of you. He said, Moses, I really don't care that you're afraid to speak because you're gonna mumble and chumble. I really don't care. You wanna know why, Moses? Because I'm the one that's gonna fill you. I'm the one that's gonna pour my words through you. So Moses, I don't care about the disqualifications or your fear or insecurities. You wanna know how he answered him, church? The same way he's answering us today. I am the I am. I am the one that's gonna pour out. I am the one that's gonna set you free. I am the one that's gonna set the nations free. I am the one that is filling you. I am the one that's giving you the authority to walk that freedom walk. I am the one, says God. Church, it's not about what you can or can't do. He doesn't care. In fact, he had to bring Moses to a point. Can you imagine Moses saying, God, but why now? I used to be a son of a king, living in a palace with all of the stuff. Maybe I could have gotten just a signet ring moment, right? This law said, but now you've brought me out to run. They hate me. I have a death threat on my life again. And now you're calling me to go back to set them free. And God says, yep, this is the perfect solution. Because as you're kneeling and as you're humbled, I can be made big. I can show off in a supernatural way. What if the very things that you lost were the things to get you to your knees so that God could be made famous in your life, in your family, in this city and cities across America? What if he allowed those things to be taken so that it was just a submitted vessel? There's nothing left. There's nothing left. God says, perfect. That's what I need. I need none of you left so that I can be all of it, because I am the I am. Exodus 3:12, he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. See, you're living in a moment in time where I believe mercy is so fruitful that his healing, his deliverance, his freedom is here, because he is calling us to mountaintop encounters, to sound the bell of freedom. See, God is calling you into freedom, not just for you, but for hundreds and thousands of others. See, God's plan for Moses was to let freedom ring from the mountaintop. And in this encounter that Moses is having at the burning bush, God says, after he calls him in this burning bush moment, he says, and just to let you know, Moses, as a sign, you will be standing here again. But it will not be a confined fire. It will not be a burning bush moment. But in fact, I'm going to bring you back to this place, Moses, where I set this whole mountain on fire. I am going to light a wildfire. And when you come back to this place, Moses, you're not going to be by yourself, but there is going to be thousands that you have walked into freedom that are going to surround this mountain. And as I set this wildfire on this mountain, there will be this glorious smoke that begins to swirl around all of the inhabitants of this land. All of the sons and daughters will get to experience my glory, my supernatural. God is calling this house not for just you to be set free, but what are the realms of influence that you're called to? What are the realms of influence you are currently working or serving in? Because I believe it's symbolic that God encounters Moses like this on the mountain, where this wildfire breaks out. Why the mountaintop? Been obsessed with mountains lately. And if you've heard about the different mountains of influence, there's the mountain of religion and the mountain of business and of arts and entertainment and education and these spheres that lead in our society. So the Bible says in Isaiah that the mountains are the place that the rivers and streams will flow to nourish the living around it, and that the mountain should be a place of life and freedom. Yet we see the mountains of influence today as empty wells, void of truth, void of justice, void of his presence. We see him void in arts and entertainment. Instead, we see idols that are being placed up. Instead of in the business realm, we see greed being placed up. And instead in education, we see perversion being placed up. In government, we see Jezebel being placed up. But I believe we are living in a time that God is so saying, my freedom is going to be so fruitful because, church, I am calling you to the mountaintops to influence, to set wildfires so that my glory would be made known in all of the culture. But you know what this means? It means that the church has to stop shrinking back in our false humility, in our false humility and fear for decades. We have taken the back seat saying, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. No, I'm not going to lead here. I'm just going to make sure my kids are here, my bills are paid, my white picket fence is set up. And in the meantime of making sure everything is okay in our household, the enemy has taken full dominion in our land that our Creator created, that He died on a cross to place dominion and authority within us to make sure that all of the inhabitants of this land would know His name. But this is the good news. Isaiah 2:2 says this. It is titled, "The Mountain of the House of the Lord." And it starts off by saying this, in the last days. Let me just stop right there. Anybody paid attention to the signs of our times? We don't know how long the season of end times is, but the signs have proved itself that we are there. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, or as the highest mountain, and it will be raised above the hills. What does that mean? This mountain of religious that our God owns will be made the chief of the mountains, and the other mountains, the Bible says, will be made into hills or will bow before the true mountain. And it says this, and all nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the house of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths, or that we may walk in His freedom. See, something happens when a sound begins to be released from the mountaintop. See, there's something when fire begins to fall. Anybody experienced His fire filling you this year? Anybody experienced Him shaking up things and ideas that were wrong or old? Experience that this year. When that quaking begins to happen, when those rushing rivers that we've experienced in worship in our households, when all of that begins to flow and surround that mountain, the sound of freedom begins to alarm. Martin Luther King declared this in his I Have a Dream speech, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And he began to declare from coast to coast, from mountaintop to mountaintop, let freedom ring, let freedom ring. The Liberty Bell, one of the most iconic symbols in the history of our nation, came forth in an extreme time where there was a cry for justice in our nation. And so interesting, they took this symbolism and they put it on a big cart, and they began to truck this couple thousand of pounds bell through our nation from mountaintop to mountaintop, from city to city. And it says that the inhabitants of those cities and mountains rushed down to see this iconic symbol This is what it said on the side. Leviticus 25:10 is engraved. And this is the scripture. Proclaim liberty in the land for all of its inhabitants. Proclaim liberty. Proclaim liberty. Proclaim liberty for all of its inhabitants. Church, this is what we are called to. That everywhere we go, that we are pouring out the good news of Jesus Christ, that his people are set free and free indeed. Do you know the hunger of humankind to run and to leave work and to drive hours in these times just to see a bell because of their hunger for liberty and freedom? Do you know that that same hunger exists today? That same hunger exists in this younger generation today that is bound in strongholds and addiction. That every sphere that I just mentioned of influence, from celebrities to slaves, are all crying out for one thing: freedom. Church, where are we? We are called to proclaim liberty in our land to all inhabitants. And I believe this is why we are experiencing the war over our freedom right now the way that we are. We are experiencing warfare over our spiritual freedom and actual freedoms in this nation. And if God's people can be convinced that our freedom is based upon what the world dictates, we will surely lose our freedom. Did you just hear what I said? If our belief in our freedom is dictated by when the world decides to say we're free and not, we will surely not be free. Can I tell you this morning that it does not matter your age, your race, your sex, none of it. Where you came out of, what you did. Your freedom was won and bought thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, not 100 years ago, not 200 years ago, but 1,000 years ago, there was a sound that was released. There was a sound of freedom that was released for all inhabitants, for all time, in all of the nations. Let me tell you about this sound. Matthew 27:51-53, it says, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. And at that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked just like on that mountaintop. And the rocks were split. The tombs were broke open. And the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And after Jesus' resurrection, when they had come out of the tombs, they entered the holy city and appeared to many people. Can you imagine this sound? Can you imagine this sound of freedom as you're walking down the street and all of a sudden a dead man just begins to have a conversation with you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the sound of that veil tearing and ripping to give us access to the true King? Come on, the freedom ringer that we have access to. Can you imagine that sound? Can you imagine the sound of that cry as our Messiah cries out and gives himself up to say, I am setting my people free? Can you imagine the sound of this freedom moment? Church, You are free. You are free. Some of you just need to hear that this morning, because you've been listening to too much nonsense. You've been listening to too many lies. You are free. You have the freedom ringer that lives within you. Stop walking in shoes of bondage. The price was paid. He paid the price. He gave up his life so that you didn't have to live in bondage. I hear chains breaking right now. I hear prison doors flinging open right now. Come on, do you hear freedom ringing? Do you hear it ringing within you this morning? See, some of you walked in here this morning, slaves to sin and these things that the enemy has said is so powerful, is so mighty. He's told you, you will struggle with this for the rest of your life. But the enemy, he's a jokester. I am a living, standing testimony that what you come out of the temptations, the addictions, the sin will not last forever. When you realize you're free, you are free indeed. Slam that door this morning. When you realize you are free, you are free indeed. You have the power, church. You have the power to close the door on those temptations. Don't let them lie to you for one more day. Do you know that there is a generation? There is your children. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people in this city and in this nation that are waiting on you to realize that you are free. Because when you realize you're free, it changes everything. It changes everything. Hold on a second, enemy. I know I'm going to pray for this person in the grocery store right now, and you're trying to make me feel foolish, but I'm free. I am free to speak the gospel everywhere I go. Don't you know that there was a woman named Harriet Tubman that the moment she realized, maybe this nation doesn't see that I'm free yet, but Harriet, she heard a freedom ringing in her spirit. She heard it loud and clear and said, oh no, my God is the way. And if I want to be free, I'm going to be free. So she made her trek. And you know what she did when she made her trek? She just decided to involve all of the influencers of all the mountains. And first she steps up to this church and she says, preacher, you're going to open this place for me and many behind me to be free. You're going to hide us in this mountain of religion. It's going to be glorified by Jesus. Then she went to the white farmer and she said, you know what? You're going to go ahead and you're going to open up this back wagon because your business, because your workplace is going to become a freedom trail, a freedom piece for me and many behind me. And then she went to the other businessman, the hotel owner, and she said, hey, freedom's knocking on your door right now. And so you know what? You're going to open your door. You're going to open your hotel and make sure that me and a bunch behind me that are coming to get set free. And then after she was done influencing in all the mountains, calling all these influencers to influence for his kingdom, not building their own thing, but building their own thing to glorify him, to bring freedom. Then she said, she crosses that river. She gets to that mountaintop place. She feels that freedom. She describes it by saying it felt like she was in heaven. But you know what? That Moses story is in her. My freedom isn't just for my freedom. And that freedom bell starts ringing again, louder. She said, I love the feeling of freedom right now, but there's too many that are crying out for freedom. So Harriet goes back
through that river with snakes and serpents, hearing the Spirit of God speak to her routes and ways that seemed impossible in the natural, but because she was a woman of the supernatural, she set hundreds and thousands free. This is what happens when the world doesn't provide us a route and way into freedom, because they never will. But when supernatural men and women filled with the kingdom of God, compassion from the things we've been through, now we walk in the authority to bring the freedom, not just to Fort Worth, not just to Texas, not just to America, but to the nations. To the nations. The Bible says all nations will stream to the house of the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.